Paul is the best example of caring the church. Caring the church. Even Christ cares about his church through godly ministers. Through godly ministers. This should make us be thanking God for giving ministers to us who care about the church and for whom they work day and night to preach the word. Paul is best example, best model of caring for the church. That's what we are studying. Two Sundays we studied a minister's care for the church. Today we are going to study the same topic. That will be part 3. A minister's care for the church. 1 Colossians chapter 1 verse 24 to chapter 2 verse 3. There are many pastors, many ministers who cares the church. Not only John MacArthur, there are many ministers who cares for the church. The best example is Paul. Colossians chapter 1 verse 24 to chapter 2 verse 23 says like this. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in fulfilling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of the church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Then he says, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. For I want to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To read this passage, we can say clearly, a minister's care for the church. Four acts of minister that prove his care for the church. The first act of minister that proves his care for the church, suffering. Suffering for the church joyfully. Ministering to the church faithfully. Verse 25 to 27. Last week we went through the third act of minister. That is proclaiming Christ purposefully. We have seen the method of proclaiming Christ. We have seen the goal of proclaiming Christ. We have seen the labor of proclaiming Christ. Today we are going to look at the fourth act of a minister that proves his care for the church is struggling for the church constantly. Struggling for the church constantly. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. It says, for I want to know how a great struggle I have. So we can say he is not only suffering for the church joyfully. He is not only ministering the church faithfully. Not only proclaiming Christ purposefully. And also struggling for the church constantly. We will understand what his struggle means if we go forward. Here are two interesting facts about his struggle. The first interesting fact about his struggle is he struggles for unknown saints. He struggles for unknown saints. That's why we say he is caring for the church. Even he is struggling for unknown saints. Not only known saints, he is struggling for unknown saints. Look at verse 1 says. He's saying that for all those who have not personally seen my face. Personally seen my face. Three categories of unknown saints we can see in this passage, in this verse. The first category of unknown saints is Colossae saints. Because it says, how great struggle I have on your behalf. On your behalf. Your means here, Colossians. The church in Colossae. Here Paul is saying, at the present time, while he was writing this letter, his desire is the church in Colossae must know his struggle. He wants to share his desire. His desire is the church must know his struggle. What is the meaning of this word struggle in Greek? If you see this meaning, the word meaning, it means a context, contend, or we can say fight. It also means intense attentiveness, concern, care. He is fighting to care the church. He is doing working hard. To understand this word, we can say this act, struggling, this act is done by an athletic. Runner is running to win the gold medal. He is to do a lot of hard work. How much hard work does Usain Bolt to win the race? How many times he practiced to finish 100 meters race within few seconds? He has to practice daily. He has to do exercises. He has to avoid certain foods. Friends, how much struggle a runner will having to get the gold medal? The same word Paul is using here. To win the race, how a runner will struggle, will do hard work like that I am doing. I am working hard. I am struggling for your purpose. You must know that one. I am working hard. That's why we say he is caring. He is struggling for the church. He was working hard for the church. He was in imprisonment. He was working hard to teach and write the scripture with his wounded hands. He should use his wounded head, wounded eyes to write this letter under the inspiration of God. He is not in the luxury room or deluxe room, not even in Cornerstone Community Church Hall. He is in imprisonment, he is in jail, where the people treat a prisoner more than an animal. He is struggling. He is working hard. He is to care the church. We can say he was struggling to strengthen their faith in Christ because of heretics in Colossae, surrounding cities and villages. He was praying for their stand and trust in Christ. He was thinking that how could they face these false teachings? How could they handle these false teachings? He is sitting in prison. He is thinking about the church in Colossae. He is struggling so much. How an athlete struggle to win the gold medal. He is struggling for the church. Paul was a person who does not care about his health and safety, but who cares about the church, even though he was in imprisonment. Two examples that I want to give you, that how much struggle he faces for the church and the gospel. Look at his own words to Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 2. He says to Thessalonians, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. After he was mistreated in Philippi, again he went and he preached the gospel. He preached the word to Thessalonica. He is like that person. He struggles. He cares for the church, to plant the church, to protect the church from false teachers. If you see Philippians chapter 1 verse 30, he says, the same time he wrote Colossians and also Philippians. He told to Philippians, first chapter verse 30, it says, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. You heard about my suffering, my struggle, then you are seeing it in me. Now I am going through. Paul, he was struggling for the church in Colossae. Look at the phrase he said, great struggle I have. Idea in Greek is Paul is continually, habitually having a great struggle. That is present tense. I have, that means continually I have. I have a car. If you say I have a car, you have a car with you only. The same idea he is using, I have struggle. That means he is struggling continuously for the church in Colossae. Those he did not meet, unknown saints. Second category of unknown saints, we see Laodicea saints. Laodicea saints. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. For I want to know how great struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. Laodicea. He is not only struggling for the church in Colossae and also Laodicea church. Laodicea was about 17 kilometers west of Colossians. West of Colossae. He is thinking about Laodicea church. He is not thinking about only one church. Look at chapter 4 verse 13. Colossians chapter 4. Turn your pages. Chapter 4 verse 13 it says, for I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea. Verse 15. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea. Verse 16. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. See, he is caring not only this church, the church in Colossae, he is caring. He is struggling for the church in Laodicea. That's why he mentioned that so many times. Third category of unknown saints is other saints. Not only church in Colossae, not only church in Laodicea, other saints also. Look at verse 1, he says, for all those who have not personally seen my face. Look at and. He is using and. Here Paul adds an additional element to what he told already. The Paul not only struggling for the sake of the church in Colossae and also church in Laodicea and also those who have not seen his face personally. Probably he was thinking about Hierapolis. Hierapolis. Look at chapter 4 verse 13. Verse 13. It says, he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea, Hierapolis. He is thinking about those cities also, surrounding cities, everybody whom he did not meet personally. What a caring pastor he was. He was fighting, concerned for those who did not meet, see them personally. Is it okay to share the pastor's struggle with the congregation? Somebody is shaking their head. I understood. It is okay because Paul, he himself is told, I am struggling for you. I am struggling. This is not boasting about himself. He is caring them. I am struggling for you. Stand for the Christ. When you face false teachers, that is the idea. I have concern for you. I am struggling for you. So it is okay to share the struggles of pastor to their congregations. says, chapter 1, verse 29. We have seen last time, verse 29, he says, for this purpose also, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. A minister will struggle for the church, cares for the church, only through the power of God. Only God can give the strength and power so that a minister can care the church. That's what Paul is saying. He's struggling for the church. What a caring pastor, Paul, under Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you need to pray for us. You need to pray for Pastor Sammy. You need to pray for me. You need to pray for Stanley Job, who is preaching here, who is serving here, so that we may care for you. We should not preach this one. We should not act like unfaithful men. We should preach the word of God. We should work hard, struggle to care you. For that you need to pray for us. So that God may give heart and strength. Not only for you, firstly. Secondly, we must work hard for those whom we did not see personally. Pray for Pastor Sammy while he is training the pastors in PTS, in Tiruthani, in other places, who will go back and minister to their local church. If any pastor is training somebody else, he is indirectly struggling for other saints whom he did not see, because these pastors will go and serve them. Like that, we can serve others. We can struggle for others. In that way, we can take implication from past Paul's life. Don't forget, you have responsibility to work hard for the churches whom you did not meet personally. Not only serving, struggling for local church, but you must have heart to struggle for other churches. In what ways that you can struggle for the sake of others whom you did not know? Praying for churches in India. Praying that God may protect the churches from false teachings, the charismatic chaos. You need to pray for neighboring churches. Not only that, supporting financially the church planters in Goa, that is your state, in India. This is not only the responsibility of a minister, but you have as a congregation to support, to minister, to struggle for other saints whom you did not meet personally. Do you have that desire? Are you helping other church saints spiritually, whatever you can do? We must learn that lesson from Paul's life. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, don't be a selfish church members of Cornerstone Community Church. You need to think about later other church members also. Because that's what we are learning. Because there is no another application from this passage. We need to think about other churches in India. Second interesting fact about his struggle is he struggles for the spiritual growth of the saints. He struggles for the spiritual growth of the saints. Look at verse 2. He says, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Here we can see Paul's goal, aim of his struggle for the sake of the church. Why he is struggling? He has purpose. He has goal. Here we can see three aspects of the spiritual growth of saints that he struggled. The first aspect of the spiritual growth of the saints that he struggled is to be comforted in the heart. To be comforted in the heart. He says, right, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged. Why I'm struggling? That their hearts may be encouraged. The meaning of this word, encouraged, in Greek is to install someone with courage. To install someone with comfort, encouragement. It can be mean strengthened so that their hearts may be strengthened. because their hearts were weak. Why I'm struggling, their hearts may be strengthened, comforted. There is no persecution in Colossae. But why should they comforted? Why should they encouraged, strengthened? We need to ask that question. Because there are false teachings in the church. So they must comforted, so that the saints may not be carried away, deceived by the false teachings. Constantly their hearts needed to be strengthened, comforted. Here hearts means, it refers to the inner life of the person. We can say the person will, person emotion, thoughts, the affection, the full person, inner person. That inner person must be strengthened. His hearts may be strengthened for that he is struggling. Paul says that the inner life of saints in Colossae, their will, their emotion, their thoughts may be encouraged. He's saying that fact that occurs. That fact of occurrence is their heart may be encouraged. Their heart may be encouraged. It will happen. It will happen through the struggle of a minister. We need to know, brothers and sisters, that Christ and God comfort us in times of distress of false teaching. And also in times of confusion about the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16 it says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort. This is also our duty. Look at verse 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 17 it says, comfort, strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. You need to strengthen your hearts. God will strengthen your hearts through the ministry of a minister, through the preaching of a minister. Actually, this is the one of the main shepherding works of the ministers. Colossians chapter 4 verse 8. Colossians chapter 4 verse 8. Just you look at that verse. He says, for I have sent him to you. That is Tychicus, right? He has sent him, Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. This is one of the responsibilities of a minister, encouraging, comforting the hearts of the church members. God will do that. Brothers and sisters, do you know God uses ministers to strengthen your life and your inner being? Do you agree that? He will do through their ministry of preaching. For that he breaks his heart and flesh so that he may understand that he needs comfort as well as the congregation. What are the some struggles of a minister to strengthen church people? For example, sometimes you may not come to the church because you are sick. Somebody in your family is sick. You won't come, right? But pastor has to come. Even somebody is sick in his home. Unless he is on the bed, he is so weak. Unless somebody is there who is replacing him, he cannot stop coming to the church. He breaks a minister to strengthen the church. Read some church history about pastors, how much struggle they went through. Even though they are facing many problems, they leave that one, they will come, they will preach to strengthen the hearts of the people. That is the care of the ministers. That is the love for the church, love for the church. God uses a minister to strengthen the hearts of the saints. That's what we are learning. The second aspect of the spiritual growth of the saints is to be united together in love. To be united together in love. Look at verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Meaning of this word, having been knit together, knit, that means to bring together into unity, unite. That is the idea, we can say. To hold together, to unify. Becoming united in the love. To understand, I can say like this. Did you go to villages? When you go to villages, sometimes they fight with other families. If one family, one person is fighting with someone else, then whole family will support that person. They are all together, they unify themselves, they go and attack that same person. Then that another family will see that whole family is coming and fighting against my brother, my sister. Then the whole family will support that family. Then they will fight together. There is a unity. Unifying together to fight. But this is not fight. You need to unify. You must have unity to love one another. Love one another. That is the idea. How village people go as unity to fight that person. Like that, the church members all together united in love. That is the idea. Paul is telling. We are not separated, brothers and sisters. We are not separate. Why I am struggling? Paul is saying here, church in Colossae, why I am struggling? So that you may love one another with unity. You all are one. There is no divisions. Everybody same. You all are united to love one another. To love one another. Paul himself talked about their love, right? He thanked God for the love which they have for all saints. Look at chapter 1, 3 to 4. Chapter 1, 3 to 4. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Even though you knew they have love for saints, again he is saying, you must be united in love. You must be united to love one another. That is the goal. That is called spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Don't unite to fight against one another. Be unite to love one another. It is very important because they don't have the love. If they don't have love which comes from God, they do not have fellowship. They do not have friendship. Then some of them may be attracted to the affection, love of false teachers. Love of false teachers. I can say like this. If you don't have love, you will love somebody else. If you don't find love in the house, you will find some love in some other people, right? If parents love their children, then children never be attracted to any persons. Love and false love. In the same way, if children love their parents, if they are united in love, that family will be strong. No one will attract them with their false love to deceive them. That's what Paul is saying. You must be united in love so that false teachers may not attack you. When they come, you all are one, you will face that false teachings. If you won't love one another here, somebody comes, you love that person, you will go away, you hate Jesus. You lose your trust in Jesus. You obey all their heresies. That's why he's encouraging. I am struggling so that you may have unity in love. You may love one another. Because look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 4. If you see, he said, I say this so that no one will delude you with a pursue argument. No one takes captive through philosophy. Verse 8. No one will act your judge in regard to food or drink. Verse 16. They may fall into those traps if they don't have unity in love. Unity in love. Brothers and sisters, sometimes people will leave good churches and love biblical church, unbiblical churches for the lack of love in biblical churches. Can I repeat? Sometimes people leave good churches, good biblical churches, and love unbiblical churches for the lack of love in good biblical churches. That's why people are leaving biblical churches. Because they can't see love in the church. They see there is divisions in the church. They see many sins of the people in the church. They don't like. They like even heresies. They don't like to stay in biblical churches. That is the idea. That's why he's struggling. Paul is explaining that. Be united in love. When anybody comes into Cornerstone Community Church, they have to see the love of the unity. The unity, the people's unity, people's love, then they will understand the love of Christ. Love of Christ. When there is no love in the church, then heresies will come. Heresies will come. I believe that how much you love your church members, that much more you are winning them for Christ. Winning them for Christ. They will see Christ's love in your love, brothers and sisters. If anybody comes to our church, Cornerstone Community Church, he should not leave. If he is leaving for others' sake, he should cry. He should cry. He must be distressed. I am leaving this biblical church, this good church. If people are leaving the church with joyfully, something wrong with us. If you are an immature saint in this church, you must love members of this church. You must have friendship, fellowship, affection with your church family members. That is church. Then anybody comes, tells about Christ and heresies, you may not go. You may not go. Don't think about people in the church. Think about the doctrine. The doctrine we have, we preach, we believe. That's why Paul is encouraging. He is struggling for this purpose. The third aspect of the spiritual growth of the saints is to gain the riches of the knowledge of Christ. To gain the riches of the knowledge of Christ. Look at verse 2, part B. It says, and attaining all the wealth, we can say all the riches that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ. If you see the phrase, the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, is used in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4. It is connected to knowledge of mystery of Christ. Understanding, full assurance of understanding, is connected to the mystery of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4. It says, by the referring to this, when you read, can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So understanding is connected to God's mystery. Understanding of Christ is contracts to the false teachings. That's why Paul is encouraging. You need to understand. You must know the assurance of the understand. Full assurance. Insight. Understanding gives the capacity to distinguish the true from false. True from false. Why Paul is bringing these things? Because there is a heresy in the church. If you understand fully, then you can deal with that. You can protect yourself from false teachings. For that you must have assurance. What you believe, you must believe. You should not change your mind day after day. Christ is the Lord. You need to believe in your lifelong. If somebody comes, he is not God. He is born again like you. He is a man. Then you should not believe him. You must have assurance of the understanding, what you believed. The intellectual riches come with the assurance of the understanding. Understanding. You will become rich if you have assurance of the understanding. If there is no certainty of understanding about Christ, there will be uncertainty in faith. There will be uncertainty in faith. Because he says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, he's warning them, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to the Christ. Here we see two truths about Christ, two facts about Christ that we must know. One is, He is God's mystery. He is God's mystery. Look at verse 2, part C. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ. Even Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 also, he mentioned that, to whom God will to make known, that is the riches of glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ who is the hope of the glory, for these Gentile Christians, Christ is the content of the divine mystery. If you want to know about God, you must know about Christ. If you want to know the purpose of God, you must know the, listen the words of Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. You cannot understand God without understanding Christ. That is the idea. Everything we come to know about God through Christ. Christ is the divine mystery. That's why you need to understand about Christ. That's why you need to gain the knowledge of the Christ. Not only he is the God mystery, and also he is the source of wisdom and knowledge. The source of wisdom and knowledge. Look at verse 3, it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Brothers and sisters, there are many wise in the world who did foolish things. Even some PhD guys, scholars, and those who have succeeded in their business, most rich people who became richest people with their wisdom, but some people died. They killed themselves. They don't know wisdom, how to handle their life. You know, I was watching one interview. One famous director, he said, a movie, film director, everybody knows about him. He himself is saying, I won't believe God. I won't believe God. Even though looking at stars and heavens, our ocean, everything, everything is appeared to that person, he is saying there is no God. You know who is that person? You remember who made the film called Bahubali. Everybody, he is getting course. He is doing lot of business. He has knowledge of the world. But he don't have true knowledge of Christ. He don't have true wisdom. That's why he's saying there is no God. There is no God. How fool he is. How fool he is. There are many people, brothers and sisters, they don't know about Christ. They may have common, superficial, worldly wisdom and knowledge, but they don't know the true knowledge of God. True knowledge of, true wisdom of God, because they are not searching for Christ. Peter O'Brien, the author, he said like this. I like this quote. He said like this. To search for other sources of knowledge and wisdom apart from Christ is useless enterprise. And he said, Paul is encouraging the readers to look to Christ as the only place where the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are to be found. Only place in the world. You can find the knowledge, true knowledge. I am not saying fake knowledge, fake wisdom. True knowledge you only find only in Christ, only in Christ. That's why Paul is saying, in whom are the hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hidden. How much you take out, you will get that much. The plenty, the overflowing knowledge, overflowing wisdom. The poor Christians who does not know many things, who does not know even English, they are wise people. More than educated, knowledgeable people in the world, because they know Christ. The richest person, if he is going to die, he will cry. But poor lady who does not know even English, she will be very happy before she dies. Because she knows who is Christ. Who is Christ? She knows how to handle the life. She knows how to handle the death situations. That is the wisdom. That is the knowledge we can get from Christ. Brothers and sisters, all wisdom and knowledge are revealed by Christ in him, and the treasures of wisdom, knowledge are to be found in him. In him alone. In him alone. That's why Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may fill with the knowledge of his will. He did not pray so that you may fill money in your bank account. He did not say that. So that you may have 10 cars, so that you may have 10 bungalows. He said what? So that you may fill with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See what is most important thing. The people are thinking having sources in with them is most important. But most important thing is having the knowledge of Christ. Knowing about Christ. Having the wisdom of Christ. Are you increasing the knowledge of Christ, brothers and sisters? Are you reading the Bible, which is filled with the knowledge of Christ, the wisdom of Christ? Sometimes you say, I don't have time to read Bible. Too sad to hear that. If you won't read one day, because of busy sickness, you need to read next day. If you are not reading Bible for 1 week, what kind of knowledge you are having? It is very important, brothers and sisters. Most wise people are those who study the Bible. They know the solution for all kinds of practical problems. Those who read the Bible, those who study the scripture, you can run to them. They can give all kind of answers. Whatever problem you have, they will answer. Brothers and sisters, people will take advice from you, and those who know the knowledge of Christ. Those who know the knowledge of Christ are the treasures of the church. Treasures of the church. If you know the knowledge of Christ, you are the treasurer of the Cornerstone Community Church. That is the goal. That's why Paul is caring for the church. That is most important thing, brothers and sisters. You have seen 4 acts of a minister that prove his care for the church. Can you repeat with me? Suffering for the church, joyfully. Ministering to the church, faithfully. Proclaiming Christ, purposefully. Struggling for the church, constantly. Pray for those who minister to you with word. John Wycliffe was an English theologian, Oxford professor and scholar. He is the unknown reformer of the Protestant Reformation. He was a student of the word and believed many teachings of Roman Catholic Church, but he was especially against the church monopoly of scripture. Thought that, listen carefully, he thought that all Christians should have a copy of Bible in their mother tongue. He decided to translate the Bible into English. Unfortunately, he died before it was completed. The Council of Constance later charged him with heresy. He is heretic because he is translating the Bible into English language. What happened, do you know? They dug out his bones from the ground. After his death, after some years, they dug out his bones from the holy ground, burned them, and scattered the ashes in river. Scattered the ashes in river. They are showing that if anybody serves the church, anybody translates the Bible for any people, common people, we will do again. He knows, but he cared about the church. He served the church. One of Wycliffe's followers named John Huss continued to promoting his idea of making Bible accessible to everyone. For that, church burned Huss at the stake. They used Wycliffe's manuscript Bibles to kindle the fire. You want to translate, which he stopped? We will burn you, which he translated. They burned him. After that, what happened? After 100 years, almost 100 years later, Martin Luther began the Protestant Reformation. These three ministers cared for the church, cared for the saints, whom they did not see personally. And they worked hard, died for the spiritual growth of the saints. God may give like this kind of ministers for His churches in Goa, in India. God may help us to serve, to care the church like these men. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this time. Thank You, Lord, for giving ministers for us, who cares us, who preaches Your word for our souls, spiritual growth. Lord, help us to obey when a preacher, when a pastor is preaching from Your word. Give that heart of obedience. Lord, help us to pray for other churches. Help other churches in India and also in Goa, other places in Goa, Lord. Lord, give us strength. Help us, Lord, to have unity in love. Help us to be strengthened when we go through the difficult situations. Lord, bless all of our ministers, those who are serving in different churches. Give heart to them, strengthen them in their ministry. In Jesus' name I pray.